Welcome, everybody, to Leagues HQ, a Basketball Victoria podcast. Ted West here. We have Sarah and Greg in the studio. Today is brought to you by Gippsland Finance Solutions, believing in giving back to community that has supported them over the years. We spoke to the director and principal broker, Jamie, as to why they chose Gippsland Basketball. She told us that Gippsland Basketball is a wonderful organization that provides opportunities for young people to stay safe, develop their skills, and be a part of a team. Supporting them is the best way of contributing to the positive development of our community. Fantastic by Gippsland Finance Solutions for jumping on and sponsoring in 2024. Now, Sarah, we didn't talk about CBL in our podcast last week, so we do have a few round five notable mentions because there definitely were a few. Am I right?
Yes, right you are, Ted. So a couple of things that happened. Lakes Entrance defeating Mafra in the men's, probably deemed a very big upset when you're looking at Mafra being, they were third when I was checking it earlier, so I'm not 100% sure where they were last weekend, but to Lakes Entrance getting over them was fantastic for them. We also had Maryborough men defeating Bendigo, another one where it's probably a little bit of an upset. I know Maryborough are pushing for finals in men's, so to get up and over Bendigo, who are in that top four, sitting second, I think, another really good one. And we also had Kyneton women defeating Bacchus Marsh. That was a top one or two battle in there. I know Bacchus Marsh have been a little bit depleted as of late, but still Kyneton to be able to get up and over them is another good story there. And then I think the biggest story of last weekend, which also then made our socials, was our 51 points that was scored by Vincent Monaghan.
Monaghan, that's it.
So from Wonthaggi against Lakes Entrance on the Saturday night. So shout out to Vincent. To score 51 in a single game is very good.
Oh, I actually think he scored more than half of his team's points. I actually don't think they broke 100. I think it was like 96 or 97 or something like that. Or maybe they did and he was just over.
Don't go leaning across onto my screen, Ted, to get your notes right. 51 of the 101 points, Ted, so almost 50% of the scoreline.
I didn't see that. I wasn't looking at your screen.
He scored more then. You are right, Ted.
There we go.
Pikachu go.
He had a good game again this weekend as we jump straight into our Gippsland men. It was Morwell who lost to Wonthaggi 72-73. Again, by the hands of Vincent converting the free throw to win the game with his partner in crime, Jack Garner with 23, along with Vincent's 24, Sarah.
Yeah, so another super close game. There's a couple of really close ones from this weekend across the board. So see another one that goes right down to the wire and it being secured in one of the last shots of the game is what we like to see. And obviously Vincent continuing his great weekend from the weekend before, but as well as his great season, I think he's been quite a consistent scorer across the board. We then had another tight one, Mafra defeating Warragul by 3, another that was sort of a top four battle. And Mafra ended up going on a 12-0 run in the last 4 minutes to sort of really...
Toritoria recently with one of the Mafra boys, Sam Whelan. We had a player in focus, an awesome article that went up on the Basketball-Toria website. Someone from our comms team did a fantastic job, Maddie, writing that article together, putting together all the pieces. Went searching through the databases to find some awesome photos. So kudos to Sam for what he's done in the world of basketball thus far. With Mafra, with the time he's had at Eltham as well, and also to our comms team and Maddie for putting together a fantastic story. So if you haven't seen or haven't had the time, jump on the Basketball-Toria website and have a read because it is a fantastic story to read and to reflect on, I guess you could say. As we move on to Traralgon defeating Pakenham 100-83.
Yeah, so the theme of this round was sort of a couple of undefeated teams taking their first loss of the season. So we had obviously Traralgon defeating Pakenham. We had Kobe Tibbles 34 points and Ben Barlow 27, so making up a good majority of that Traralgon points and making sure that their team got the win.
Mm. Yeah, Pakenham and Traralgon both with 7 wins at the top of that ladder, looking like, you know, a possible grand final clash right there. Not too sure. Can't be too sure. But no, this is definitely some teams that are going to be way up there with some fantastic highlights of, you know, Big V guys that are dominating in this CBL who are also fantastic Big V players with Kobe Tibbles and Ben Barlow. I think this is going to be shaping up personally, like I said, to be the grand final game here between Pakenham and Traralgon. It can't be too sure.
Obviously, but can never be confirmed. No. I think it is looking that way, but when you're looking at the next three, sort of in that 3, 4, 5 spots with Mafra, Warrigal and Wonthaggi, they're all fighting to make it into the top two.
So I reckon you're going early, you two.
Ooh.
So if I have a look at Mafra's couple of losses, there's a key player or two that have been missing from a couple of losses they've featured. Now, there was a 63-point drubbing at the hands of Traralgon. I give you that, and it's tough to make that up, but Warrigal also gave Traralgon a touch-up. You've got a Warrigal versus Wonthaggi matchup this week. It'll put one of them at 5-2 and right there in the mix. While they've certainly gone into two divisions almost when you look at the ladder, I'd say that top five, anyone on their day with a full lineup can probably steal themselves a win. And that is a three-headed monster, that Traralgon lineup. As an outsider looking in, there is a three-headed monster to that team. But yeah, I think in any night, any of that top five could find themselves deep in the playoff run.
There you go. Heard of you first from Greg. Not giving us anything. Can't lock in these grand finals. But, well, we know the grand final location, though, don't we?
Yes, we do. We have locked in the Gippsland grand final location as Pakenham. So we'll see if Pakenham might be able to sort of turn that into a little bit of a home advantage there.
Absolutely. Moving to our northeast men, we had Seymour defeating Albury 71-50. Sarah, I believe you were at this game, so got the, you know, the live stats and the game by play. Talk us through this game. What did you see?
Yeah, so I headed down to Seymour on the weekend, and so happened to wander in to the Seymour Sports and Aquatic Centre to have a look at Seymour taking on Albury. Albury were probably a little bit undermanned when you look at their list and who they've been suiting up in recent weeks. So probably going with a little bit of a younger lineup, which I think's sort of shown in the deficit there, but they did put up a good fight. I think you can't go past Patrick Green for Seymour. He was just nailing threes left, right and centre, especially in the first quarter. Opened the game with a three. Albury then come and hit back with another of their own. Seymour then go on a 9-0 run, with Patrick then going 4-4 from the three-point line in the first 5 minutes, and then managed to finish that first quarter 5-6 from the three-point line. So ended that first quarter 24-18. Seymour come in the second term, then set themselves really up for that win. So go 18-9 in that second quarter, and then going into the third, Patrick Green starts the half the same as he started the start of the game. Mm. Hits another three. So really sort of set the tone again for that second half there. Albury did really try to put up a fight and did draw the last quarter at 13-all. We had Lachlan Thomas on 12 and Maximilian Morton on 11. And they really fought hard for Albury and tried to keep it as close as they could. But Patrick Green ended up finishing with 7-11 from the three-point line.
Jeez.
And ended up with 25 points overall. So I think he really made sure that game was locked away quite early too.
Massive. Love that from you. Super detailed, by the way. I think that was awesome. We also had Wodonga that got over the line against Echuca. Just the 7 points there. Wodonga now, I believe they're 5-0. As one of the only teams left in the entire CBL competition remaining undefeated. I will give a shout out to Lockie Harvey in that Wodonga group. He is the Queensland killer. He defeated in a semi-final Rocco and Roman. So 5-0 for Lockie and the Wodonga boys, continuing to get things done in this northeast men competition. Echuca and Albury also battling for the fourth position on the ladder, separating by one win as well. So again, this ladder is shaping up very, very nicely as we lead into the final few rounds of this season. Jumping to Northwest men, we had quite a few games here this weekend, a few on Saturday and Sunday in round six. Three of those games on Saturday night, three winners clocked over 100 points. We had 114-77, 105-81, and then 111-80. So some teams who definitely know how to put ball in the basket there. Some high scoring there. But we also had Mildura, who defeated Maryborough 76-71.
Yeah, so Mildura on the road again for this weekend. They really set up their match sort of in that first quarter, going 27-18. Really set up sort of the whole win right there. Jack Bakewell scoring 23. And this win for them was really important against Maryborough. Like I was saying earlier, Maryborough trying to fight sort of for a finals position, and Mildura really trying to secure their chance at top four, and getting this win on the board, I think, has obviously moved in the right direction for them.
Absolutely. We had Castlemaine as well, who had a fantastic weekend. They got over, just under the line against One Hill, 70-65, as they suffered their first loss of the season, just scoring 4 points in that second quarter. Swan Hill, so not too sure what happened there, but they still go over the line.
Yeah, they really rallied after that sort of slow quarter in the second, like you're saying, only scoring the 4 points. They then go and score 28-14 in the third. So really sort of made up for what they'd done in the second quarter there. Again, Lachlan Somerville, I think we've mentioned his name multiple times on this podcast for his scoring ability. He then stood up again, scoring 21, and really trying to make sure Swan Hill locked away that win.
Yeah, but he did foul. He fouled out just before the end of this game as well. He had 5 fouls, and I don't know what time there was left on the clock, but there was a number of possessions after this. So he did foul out. So a fantastic job for his boys to get over the line. Him and Josiah Patterson, obviously in that clash, I think are two possible MVP candidates for this Northwest men. I believe they both play with each other for Bendigo in Big Van NBL 1 as well. So awesome to see the two of them in a clash. And then I actually think on top of that, I think it's Lockie O'Brien, who was the 2023 MVP for Northeast men, also a Bendigo boy in the Big V and NBL 1. So two possible MVPs clashing over the weekend. One with 26, one with 21, but it was Lockie Somerville with the win.
Also, just want to make note to Swan Hill in that game as well. They only suited up 7 players. So suited up 7 and took down the undefeated team while also having their top scorer foul out. That's a very good effort on the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Back end of a doubleheader too, Sierra.
Yep, on the Sunday. Yes, they indeed got the job done.
Southwest men, we continue the theme of undefeated teams with Warrnambool suffering their first loss to Portland, 82-65. Sierra.
Yeah, so we had Toby Jennings finishing with 23 for Portland. And I've also been told that Portland have a fine system going on. Well, they did at least last year when it came to the podcast and mentions. So Toby Jennings, hope you're getting hit up with some fines right now.
This is the kind of news, Sarah, we love to hear about. This is the kind of vital information we need to know. Start, feel free to drop us some names. Who do we need to drop in it? Give them a shout out and make sure we get fines around the league.
Well, Toby's really getting called out today. Got 23 on the Saturday and then followed up with 18 on the Sunday as well. So hopefully he's being handed out some fines right now.
This was a back-to-back doubleheader as well. So Portland hosted Warrnambool on the Saturday night, and then Warrnambool hosted Portland on the Sunday. So a massive back-to-back for Portland. I think that's just a team fine if I just continue to say their name, right? Surely. I don't know what this money is going to, but I'm going to say it again, Portland. As we move on, We'll move on.
Sorry, can we just double back to that first? I also just want to make note on the Sunday that Warrnambool did get their revenge on Portland and got up by 6.
Yes. Yes, they did. We also had Horsham continuing their winning way, convincing with a 109-63 point win over Hamilton. It was Austin McKenzie continuing with his fantastic form, scoring 33 points for the game. Last year's leading scorer for this competition, I believe. So congratulations to this Horsham team and Austin McKenzie as well.
Yeah, Austin's really looking like he could go back-to-back in that leading scorer. You never know. Haven't looked quite at the stats as in-depth as probably Ted does. But I know after, I think, the first couple of games he had off, he's really made it known in the end of the season. And obviously 33 goes a long way towards the points there. We also had Joshua Miller for Hamilton really try and keep the game as close as he could. He ended up finishing with 30 as well.
Absolutely. We move over to our Gippsland women here to our women conferences. We had Wonthaggi defeating Morwell 58-54. Wonthaggi suiting up just the 6 players in still getting that win.
Yeah, they got multiple players into double digits. And really, I know I've harped on about it probably 10 times before. The team wins. Multiple players in double digits, I think, have really been setting up teams for wins as opposed to potentially someone going out and scoring big points just solo. So shout out to them for getting the win.
Yeah, absolutely. We also had Wallen had a close encounter with Shepparton with a final score of 62-58. Shepparton, looking at the second quarter with just the 3 points there. So something that I think they're going to be looking back to, Collins with the 3 towards the end there. Alyssa Buckley for Wallen stood up massive with 25 points closing out the game.
Yeah, probably a closer scoreline than you would expect. Shepparton, again, a very young team, a number of players who play JCC. And really to have, you know, it be 2 points and just probably sort of ruining that quarter where they only scored the 3 points. If they were able to sort of be a little bit more consistent across the board, I think they would have taken home that win against Wallen, who should finish in that final spot. We also had Wodonga going oh so close to continuing the theme of knocking off undefeated teams. They went down to Myrtleford by 5. It was a bit of a seesawing battle when you had a look at the scores per quarter, but Myrtleford sort of sealed the deal in the fourth quarter and outscored Wodonga 26-19 to make sure they took home the win.
Absolutely. Our North East women now, we had Mildura on the road defending backers March 63-56 on Saturday night, controlling the first 3 quarters against backers Marcia.
Yeah, they really just got it started quite early against backers Marsh, who again been talking about being probably a little bit hampered by some injuries and illnesses in the last few weeks, but Mildura still had to come to play and they made sure they did, really getting over Backus Marsh in the first 3 quarters. Backus Marsh then really tried to storm home with a 16-10 last quarter, but they just fell a little bit too short, probably started their run a little bit too late. We had Tracy Sherlock finishing with 20 for Mildura as well. We then, on the Sunday, Mildura then had to suit up against Maryborough and they got the win again in another close one, so 54-47. And those 2 wins have rocketed Mildura into the second position with only 2 weeks left in our Northwest Conference.
Now, Greg, I've got a question for you. You got Maryborough right now who are 3-6 for this competition thus far. So 3 wins and 6 losses, but you go to some stats, you jump on the points total. Having played 9 games, you got the top 2 leading scorers of 141 points and 142 points, both coming from Maryborough. What do we think is going on here? Is it something like they're obviously, they can score the ball. They can easily score the ball. 142, 141 points, but 3-6 record at the moment. Is it just the defensive side, do you think?
It certainly is. Well, I mean, Faith and Ireland are terrific players. And I apologise if I haven't pronounced that correctly, but you'd have to look at probably depth as a concern, getting overrun in terms of players. The two very strong clubs in Bendigo and Mildura are also within this. And the two being at the top of the scoring certainly means they're a threat as we head towards the finals.
Absolutely. The top four almost locked in there as we get nice and close to the end of the season. I think just two more rounds there, round 7 and 8, before we lead into finals for the Northwest Women. As we jump to our last competition, the Southwest Women, we had Portland continuing to come back on the hunt for back-to-back titles.
Yeah, Portland, another doubleheader, called it a doubleheader series, playing against Warrnambool home and away over the weekend. So they started off Saturday night at home with an 81-60 win, winning all four quarters as well, which I think has been a little bit rare in most of the games so far this season. Again, they had four players in double digits, so setting up that team win. We also had Lara Clark for Warrnambool finishing with 19 as well. They then turn around on Sunday, go to Warrnambool, and win by 19. Warrnambool did have a slow start on Sunday. They went 5 to 14 in the first quarter, which then really just left them in chase mode from there. All over for everyone, very even spread of scoring. Most players were sort of sitting in that 8-9 across the board for both teams. Very even, so Portland made sure they just locked away the win there. If we're looking at ladders for Southwest Women, only one win separates second to fifth. So it really is going to be anyone's game in the next 3 weeks that are left for the Southwest Conference.
Absolutely. Well, looking ahead to round 7, what are some sort of big games that we're looking at? Adamo, we'll jump back to the men's. What is something that's, you know, that people should be keeping their eye out for?
There's actually quite a few really good matchups this weekend, and especially when you're looking at ladders and finals, we've got a lot of the top four or your fifth place team, they're battling it out over the weekend. If we're looking at Gippsland, you've got Wonthaggi and Warrigal. So Wonthaggi currently sitting fifth, Warrigal sitting fourth. This will be a massive game for both teams. They really need to lock away this win to keep their finals on track and make sure they're doing whatever they can to secure that top four. Talking about Vincent Monaghan earlier, he has been a scoring machine. So really need to make sure that he gets locked down by Warrigal, because it'll go a long way to deciding the match. And then also Wonthaggi then have to take on third place Mafra on Sunday. So really big weekend for them in terms of finals positions. So they really need to try and lock away both wins to make sure they're giving themselves the best chance there.
We also have a Friday night game as well, I believe, in Mount Gambier taking on Millicent. Is that right? Is it a Mount Gambier tournament, I think, on that weekend as well?
Yeah, we have Friday Night Hoops again in South Australia. So Mount Gambier have their tournament this weekend, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So they've actually got two home games, one on the Friday with the sort of Battle of SA with Millicent, and then they also are following up on Saturday night as well. So I think you'll see some really good crowds there. I think if anyone's going to that junior tournament, stick around, head down, I think 6 o'clock is the start of both games. So head down and have a look while you're sort of relaxing, recovering after a big day of games. So those will be really good, and some good matchups in both the men's and women's for that one.
Absolutely. Jumping to the women's side, we have a 1v4 clash with Currumburra taking on Morwell as well. We then have second versus third in the northeast with Wallen versus Albury, the winner, possibly moving to second place. Am I right?
Yeah. So from what I could tell looking at the ladder, the winner of that one will go into second. And with only, you know, a handful of games left, a couple of weeks left, that's really going to be crucial in trying to get that home semi. So really need to make sure they're battling out to take that position. We then have second playing third in the northwest with Mildura and Kyneton. Another game that will be an absolute battle. Both have been quite consistent across the year with, I think, one loss each, if not quite close to that. So that one, again, trying to lock away that second position, that home semi, that goes a long way, especially when you're probably talking about a Mildura. If they don't have to travel in a semi, I think that's big for them.
Mm, absolutely. Well, looking towards finals, we have a few competitions with, you know, two rounds left. We have a few other competitions that have three. But we spoke about at the start, we have all of our final grand final locations locked in. We had Pakenham for the Gippsland region. We had Bendigo was another region. What else did we have?
Yeah, so we've locked away Bendigo for our northwest. In the northeast, it'll be hosted at Wallen. And then in the southwest, we're heading up to Portland.
Fantastic. No doubt you'll see many of the staff from Leeds in competitions and also comms jumping to all of these grand finals to come and support some massive, massive games leading into these final rounds. This was a CBL podcast on Leeds HQ. Ted, Wes, Sarah and Greg, fantastic to have you guys in the studio. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We'll catch you all next week.